The thunderstorm capital of the world. So I'll be filling in today. And he was in the process of going through some material that he put into a PowerPoint format, and he was kind of partially the way through that. And I think it's best that he finish that, so he's still got that, and he'll finish that when he gets back. I think that'll be best. So what we're going to do this morning is we've kind of, over the last few weeks, kind of melded together lessons 15 and 16, which deal with membership in the Lord's church. And lesson 15 deals with what membership means, and that's kind of in the perspective of, as a member of the Lord's church, what does that mean to us? I mean, what are the blessings? What are the benefits? And any time that we're a part of an organization, we join ourselves to something because we intend for, there's a reason we join with a group of people for any type of purpose. And that lesson deals with what does it mean for us? What are the blessings and so forth? But we know that in life, with every blessing, there comes what? There comes responsibility. And that's what the second part of that lesson is about the responsibilities of membership in the Lord's church. What does it require of us? And so this morning we're simply going to perhaps review some of the points, perhaps try and take a little bit different perspective. It was perhaps mentioned that we've never actually gone through the questions from lesson 15. And there's one in particular that I'm curious for us to perhaps address this morning, and that's the very first question. It's really kind of it's what sometimes you call a loaded question. I mean, it's a big question. And we'll perhaps get into that this morning. But before we begin class this morning, David, would you go ahead and open us with a word of prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you for the day, the blessings you give us. We thank you for your love, your presence, your walking over us. We ask you, as we now participate in the study, that we would study with open hearts, study to the gratitude, trying to learn as much as we can about you and your Lord. Ask to be with Chris and the things he's prepared, and help him remember those. Ask to be involved as we study. I always remember that this is your revealed word to us. Ask to be with those that are traveling and wait for us and bring them back to us safely.
Amen. You know, as I reflected on the lesson 15 and again, what the membership means, that is what it means to us, it kind of dates yourself a little bit. Do anybody remember the commercial from a number of years ago that the tagline used to be, membership has its privileges? So, yeah, Jonathan's shaking. No, he doesn't remember that. Those of us who are older, and that was, I believe, a commercial for American Express. That used to be their line that they used to have with all their commercial, membership has its privileges. And that's what, again, the first lesson is about. There's blessings with being a member of the Lord's church, but there's also responsibilities. And as to me, this idea of membership in the Lord's church is a very special topic. It's something that, you know, should be close to our hearts. It should be something that we think about throughout our lives. There's a reason that we're here today. There's a reason that we obey the gospel. There's a reason that we use the expression that's not really accurate, but on Sundays we talk about why we come to church. And again, that's kind of an expression that doesn't really have the full understanding of what church is, because church is not a location, it's a group of people. But membership in the Lord's church is something special, and we need to appreciate that. And I think church membership is exemplified in a number of different ways in the scriptures. Is exemplified, for example, in one context I would like for us to read is in Romans chapter 11. And beginning in verse 17, as Paul is contrasting the fact that the gospel, when it was first proclaimed, the gospel went to what group of people first? It went to the Jews, and then later it went to the Gentiles. And again, there was the issue of the Jews accepting the Gentiles into the body of Christ as members of the Lord's church. And to help the Jewish Christians understand what it meant to be a member of the Lord's church, in Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, he uses an analogy that should help us to appreciate what membership means. In beginning of verse 17, Paul says, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them, and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will then say, 'Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in.' Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more shall these, who are the natural branches, be grafted in to their own olive tree?" What's the analogy then that Paul uses in this context to help us understand what it means to be a member? Very clear. In this analogy, apart from Christ, what are we, you know, in this analogy? We're cut off. We're simply what? We're a branch by itself. And what good is a branch by itself? There is no value. You know, apart from Christ, we're simply a branch. And as simply a branch, what is our whole life about then? I'm sorry? Well, but if we're not attached to something that'll help us grow, we can't. Well, it should be, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, a branch by itself really has no meaning, and we should be seeking, as it were, a meaning to our life, a purpose to our life. But aside from Christ, our whole life is revolves around ourselves, doesn't it? I mean, there's nothing really to speak of. But the point being is that when a branch is grafted into a tree, what is then the meaning of the branch? Is it itself any longer? It's part of a tree now. It's joined. It's now a member of that tree. It's no longer simply about itself, unproductive, and again, hopefully seeking to find life and to find that association. But now, do you see when a branch is grafted in? Now the meaning is not in the branch itself, but what it's become a part of. And what the branch has become a part of now is hopefully to be a fruitful olive tree. And do we sometimes, should we see ourselves as, again, is it about me, or is it about what I've become a part of? And as children of God, it should be about what I've joined myself to. Yeah, we've got it's a new relationship. We've got new blessings in Christ. James?
What's the new purpose in life? Now that you've been grafted in, you're part of something far greater than you ever were. What blessings come, responsibilities, and purpose in life?
Absolutely. That's exactly the, I guess, James stated it well. We have a new purpose, and it's much larger than ourselves now. And it's not about me. It's not about, again, a branch that's been grafted in. It's not about, well, here's what I'd like. Rather, the branch seeks to find out the purpose of the tree. How can I contribute to the tree? And I think that's when we start to view ourselves and our lives as children of God. It's not about, again, what can I do for my own sake, for my own life. But God's added me to his church. I'm a member now. I've been grafted into the spiritual body. Now what can I do with my life to help the tree? It's not, again, what can I do to glorify self. It's not what can I do to make myself shine. What can I do now as a grafted-in member of the Lord's church to help the tree grow and prosper and bear fruit. And that's special. That's special. Now, that's one analogy in terms of what membership means. And I think that type of graphic analogy helps us to appreciate what our role as Christians today should be. Another passage that I think helps us understand a little bit better is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, we've made reference to this, but let's take time to stop and think about it a little bit better. And would anybody like to do a little bit of a lengthy reading here? Roy, thank you. 1 Corinthians 12, and read verses 12 through 31.
1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31?
Yes, please.
For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made drinking into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he has pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you.
Yes, please.
No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God can love the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, health, administrations, writings, and tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent one.
So in this context, what's the overall context of 1 Corinthians 12? Spiritual gifts, absolutely. And the church in Corinth had a problem with the members of that congregation coming and seeking to have a greater impact, to glorify themselves for the spiritual gifts that they had. And here in this context, Paul reminds them that apart from Christ, what are we? We're nothing. You know, and to make that analogy, what does he refer us to? The human body. And apart from Christ, each of us is, as it were, a part of the human body. And we understand if we take the human body and it were split it into its individual parts, each on their own, what value is any individual part of the human body? There isn't, you know. For example, and playing ball for a number of years, we have, you know, toe and fingernails. If you take those off, is there anything you could do with those on their own? I've never tried, but I don't think there's much value in a nail, as it were, sitting on a shelf. It's not going to accomplish anything. But on the body, do they serve a purpose? Is there value to them being a member of the body that we have? Yeah. And so, I mean, you can go through and you can carry this to the nth degree, but we see that individually there's not much value, but as part of the members placed where they are for a reason, there's value.
I was just thinking of what he said, the whole body was eye, but you could see the basketball coming at you, but you couldn't stop. All you could do is see it.
Right.
You know, having hands, any of the other parts, it doesn't do you much good. It'd be nothing but an eye or nothing but a hand.
And it goes to the point that within the Lord's church, we need, there's various functions to fill, aren't there? There's various needs that the Lord's church has. And again, if everybody sought to fill the same need, absolutely, there, by necessity, if everybody was trying to fill the same role and function within the Lord's church, it would leave other functions and roles and responsibilities what? Undone and unfulfilled. So that's an important aspect of membership in the Lord's church, is to understand that, and as far as contributing to the Lord's church, there's two temptations, I believe, that we've got to overcome in terms of how we can contribute and how we can serve within the Lord's church. On one hand, there's the temptation to do what? In terms of our value. In terms of what we can contribute,
to underestimate,
and you know, the parable of the talents, to say, well, I can't do anything, and I really don't have anything to offer, and so I'll let other people, you know, take care of all these functions, because, you know, again, it's the undervaluing, the underestimating of our talents, our skills, our abilities, our strengths. And then on the flip side of that is the other temptation to do what? To overestimate our to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, and to think that I'm so much better, and I should do the seeing, I should do the hearing, because I'm such a better hearer, you know, using the analogy of 1 Corinthians 12. So there's two temptations when we consider our membership within the Lord's church, and as it was told to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, turn not to the right hand or to the left. When again it comes to our membership within the Lord's church and seeking to contribute, we can turn both ways on that. And oftentimes I think perhaps many of us might be tempted more in terms of, well, I can't do anything, and there's no way I can contribute, so I'll let everybody else do it. But again, we need to balance that and remember not to overestimate ourselves. But yes, Joe. Well, absolutely. And again, that's kind of on the underestimating. I realize I could, but you know what? I'll let somebody else contribute. You know, I'll let somebody else, you know, fulfill that function. And that can be for a variety of reasons. But again, it's important that, again, we seek to contribute not by overestimating, not by thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but not by, you know, again, being the one talent man that goes and buries it, you know, in the ground and says, you know what, God's a demanding God, and I don't want to try something and you know, not do a good job, so I just won't do it at all. So yes, we need to avoid both temptations. And regarding, it's interesting, especially again in the context of 1 Corinthians 12, who chose the spiritual gifts that each member was to have?
God did
through the Holy Spirit. And it's also important to remember that in terms of being a member of the body, who enabled us to be a member within the body? God did. Look at verse 18 again of 1 Corinthians 12. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Again, God's the one who places the members in the body. And when you go back to when the church first began on the day of Pentecost, and for the very first time, individual souls were added to the Lord's church, who did the adding?
Lord.
The Lord did the adding. And so the Lord adds us then as members to the body. And when we talk about being added to the body, again, we're talking about what, the local church or the church? We use the accommodative expression, the church universal. It's talking about the being added to the Lord's overall body, the universal church, if we can use that expression. Now, it's interesting. I've always found very interesting. I do like words and how they come to be. As we reflect on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as far as the analogy of the members of the body and the body as a whole, being added to that body. That the Greek word used in Acts chapter 2 is a very interesting word in light of that analogy. The Greek word used there is prostithemi, P-R-O-S-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. And from that word, and again, I should have had it up there, if you saw it, there's a word, an English word that we use today that real quickly jumped to my mind. What's that, Donna? Prosthesis? Yeah, or prosthetics? And what is that? Yeah, the subject of prosthetics or prosthetic limb is something that's added to the body. And it's meant to be added to the body, what is it, you know, as a replacement, but it's added in to be a fully functioning part of the body. And I think it's very interesting that that's the word that was used there in Acts chapter 2 when the Lord added those to the church who obeyed the gospel that day. It was a prosthetic relationship, again, that they were added as a member to the body. I think it's a very graphic representation of what God has done for us. He's taken us and added us as a member of the body of Christ, and now we have a function with the body. And it's something we need to strive then to find out, how can I contribute then to the body of Christ? What is it that I can do, contribute, and work for within the body of Christ? Then finally, one other analogy in terms of, again, we've talked about the grafting in aspect of being members of the Lord's church. We've talked about the physical body as far as prosthetics being added to the Lord's church as a member of the body. And one other example, and a shorter reading in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. Ephesians 2 and verse 19 through verse 22. Can I get somebody to read that for me? James? So the analogy here, as far as being members of the body, is to what? A building? Anybody have any loose bricks at home? I know I do. You look at an individual brick by itself. What function does that serve? One brick all alone. I use it as a paper, kind of a crude paperweight, I guess. But really, in and of itself, one brick, there's not much function there, is there? Anybody seen a brick house built before? Looks nice, doesn't it? Made up of a lot of individual bricks. And point being, in Ephesians chapter 2, underneath all those bricks is a what? A foundation. You can't have a beautiful home without a foundation. But the analogy here being that every building is not made up of one piece, but of many members, as it were. There's a purpose to everything that goes into building a house, every brick, every bit of mortar, every nail, every 2x4. There's a purpose for that, and it's for the purpose of the whole. There's not much purpose, again, aside from our relationship, aside from Christ, but with Christ as part of his building, part of the holy temple of God. We have a very special purpose. And the purpose here also helps us to understand that there is a relationship we have with, and again, all three analogies make this point. Again, as one brick to another brick, do we need each other? Again, you start taking bricks out of the house, the integrity of the house is compromised. Again, you start taking members of the body apart, the body as a whole is compromised. It's not the same anymore. The body needs every member. The building needs every brick. Each one of us has an important role to fill. And again, if we went through life every day of our lives with that understanding of my role within the Lord's church, is that going to help us a little bit to be a little more steadfast, to be a little bit more zealous in terms of I need to contribute to the whole, not just my own life? It's not just about me, but it's about what I'm become a part of. And that's something special. And then more specifically, again, we've made the point that church membership is something, again, we're part of the overall whole, the body of Christ, the church, the kingdom of God. But then once we've been added to that overall body, we have the responsibility as members of that universal church to seek a place within a what? A local congregation. To join ourselves with a group of people to work together within his body. And it's been brought up in our studies on Sunday morning prior to this, of the example of Paul in Acts chapter 9. And in verse 26 and 27, where we read that he had come to Jerusalem, and he was trying to associate with the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and how he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And beginning from then, because of Barnabas standing up for Paul and describing to the brethren there in Jerusalem that he indeed was one of us, God has added him and we need to, as it were, bring him into our number. But what we see, first of all, on Paul's part is what did he try to do when he went to Jerusalem?
Try to join himself,
try to associate himself with a brethren. And again, that's in the English, we might not fully appreciate what is meant by that word, to join or to associate himself with a group of brethren. Okay. So we're joined together in Christ. Again, going back to the body analogy, every joint and ligament, you know, that the strength that supplies. You know, anybody ever torn a ligament or broken a joint? I know playing basketball, I tore the ligaments in my ankle. You're not supposed to do that, I found out. Okay, it's not a good thing to do. But the point is that those are my ligaments that I tore were not supposed to be torn, were they? They were meant to be a permanent fixture to hold the body together. And again, in Christ, our membership is intended to be one that's permanent, not torn apart. And to that end, again, the word that's used in Acts chapter 9, 26, where Paul tried to join himself to or associate himself with the brethren there, is from the Greek word koalo, kalao, K-O-L-L-A-O, kaleo. And this word is a word that means to glue or to stick, to glue or cement together, generally, and then to unite or join firmly together. Now, when you talk about cementing something together, do you take, if you got two things that you intend to take apart at some point in time, are you generally going to put them together to begin with by cementing them? By somebody using some of that super glue, you know, and if you intend to take them apart, to glue or to cement together indicates what is to take place with that relationship. It's a permanent bond, that it's not to be torn apart, that it's not a, you know, like two magnets, you know, again, yeah, they join together, but, it, you know, you can swap them about anything. When you glue or cement, that's meant to stick together. When Paul then went to the brethren in Jerusalem to join himself to them, what was he seeking to do? To join in a permanent relationship with them and to commit to working together with them. And it's interesting that it's a word that is also used, where I have that in the... Oh, in Matthew chapter 19, of the relationship of husband and wife. That when you join yourselves as husband and wife, God views that relationship as a relationship that's been cemented or permaglued together and is not intended to be separated. But do we view our membership with the Lord's church as one that we have cemented ourselves to our brethren in? Are we that committed? Have we committed ourselves to the point of the fact that I'm glued together with you? You know, good, bad, or indifferent. You know what? We're together. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere else. But this is my permanent relationship with my brethren, and we're going to work together. We're going to stick together, and we're going to deal with success together. We're going to deal with adversity together. Do we always see that within the members of the Lord's church? Is that, you know, when, because problems happen within the body, don't they? Are there conflicts? Are there problems? And do some members sometimes deal with problems by, instead of saying, you know what, I've been glued together with you and I'm not going anywhere. Do some, however, deal with problems and adversity by saying, you know, I'm out of here. You know, good luck. You know, I hope you guys solve that. But again, do we view our membership within the Lord's church as being that permanent? Something we're not going to walk away from. Something we're not going to turn our back on our brethren. Why? Because we've been glued together. I don't see that I can leave, because the Lord has added me to the church, and I've joined myself to you. And so I'm going to commit to staying in that relationship together. So it's indicative of a membership that's close, that's intimate, that's committed. And when we join ourselves to a local church, we need to understand that we've become an identifiable, and we need to view ourselves as a contributing part of that local congregation. We need to consider and make sure that we take seriously that membership, that joining together, that bond that we have with our brethren, that we've committed ourselves to, and that we need to commit ourselves to. And when the parts don't come together as a whole, when you've got some parts of the body that aren't contributing, does that work too well? Yeah. Have you ever had a moment, perhaps? I know a few weeks ago I got up one morning, and for some reason, maybe the way I slept, my whole right leg and my ankle was numb. I got out of bed and put my weight on there, and my ankle was like, I'm not ready yet. And, you know, bad things happen when all the parts of my body don't contribute together. You know, I think I grew so fast growing up that I was wondering if all my parts were ever going to work together at some point in time. You know, we feel clumsy when the parts of the body don't work together. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up into all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. If the church ever has any hope of growth, it's going to happen when each part is doing what? Working, looking for a way to contribute, looking for a way that they can help the body grow. And again, if I've only got, say, a third of my body actually working together, and the rest of my body is simply, again, along for the ride, that's not going to work too well. And that's the analogy here in Ephesians chapter 4. Again, you watch the athletes, you know, you watch the Olympics, you watch these, you know, doing incredible things. Those who achieve that level of mastery in any, you know, physical activity, it's only because they have trained their body to work together. You know, we're watching a lot of the speed skating or whatever like that, and everything is just working in perfect motion for those who achieve at the highest level. You know, everything is in sync, and every part of the body is focused on one purpose. And again, do we sometimes fail to see that and remember that in terms of our membership within the Lord's church? Don't like to often bring in secular information, but there is something that struck me, and it has to do with what we're talking about in terms of contributing as members of a local congregation. In my secular employment, we've used over the years is we deal with management issues and so forth, and in terms of getting the whole organization to move together towards a goal, that there's a term that we use called employee engagement. Has anybody ever heard that that phrase used before? It's a corporate buzzword. And you know what? It perhaps is overused, but there's a lot of truth into that. If you've got a company, a corporation, in which nobody's buying into what the business is doing, nobody really cares if the business succeeds. You ever walked into a place of business and had an interaction with an employee of that business and come away with the conclusion after interacting with them in that place of business, they don't really care. And you're going, they're not really bought into whether or not this store, restaurant, whatever, it succeeds or not. I've dealt with a number of people you walk into and it's kind of like, they evidently don't care whether this business is around next year or not. What you're dealing with is an employee who's not engaged. I mean, they don't care about the success of the organization. They're really not seeking to contribute to the business that's growing. There's a number of businesses that are known for having very highly engaged workforces. I mean, and one of which is a common study in the business world is Southwest Airlines. And for those of us who ever flown Southwest, there's something built within that organization that it's not everybody, but it sure seems to me as I use their business from time to time, their employees care. They're concerned about the well-being of that organization. Someone once did a study recently, just this past year, in which they surveyed 90,000 workers in various lines of work. And what they found was that of those 90,000 people, only 21% were truly engaged employees within that organization. That was only one out of five really cared and really put their best interest and best effort into the success of that organization. 40% they found were moderately engaged, but not fully. You know, they wanted to succeed, and they generally tried hard, but not completely. And that left nearly 40% of all the workers in any line of business that they surveyed that were either partially or totally what they call disengaged. They really didn't care. They didn't care if the business succeeded or failed. They didn't really care if they put in their best effort as an employee of that organization. And I find that interesting. There's a lot of applications of the secular point of view, but we should need to have a spiritual mindset about everything that we deal with in life. And my spiritual mindset, as I read about this, asks the question, how engaged are we in the Lord's church? Is that a valid question to ask? Is that a valid question to ask? How concerned am I as a member of the Lord's church about the success of the local congregation I'm a part of? How engaged am I in what this congregation is trying to do? How concerned am I about the Lord's church throughout the world, that people throughout the world still have the chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? How concerned am I about that? And how, to what degree then am I going to involve myself in the Lord's church to help bring that about? You know, a definition of engagement might simply be as an engaged employee is one who's fully involved in, enthusiastic about his or her work, and thus will act in a way that furthers their organization's interest. Now, translate that again. We're not here to study business. We're here to consider this morning our membership in the Lord's church. And we could rephrase that by saying an engaged member of the Lord's church is going to be engaged in the work of the church. He's going to be fully involved, enthused about, and focused on the church's best interest. That is, he's going to take his discretionary efforts and abilities and talents and not use them for selfish reasons, but for the benefit of the Lord's church. And to what degree, then, am I putting everything that I have into the success of whatever congregation I'm a part of?
Yeah, so talk about this. It makes me think that we need to realize that the job of being a Christian is our primary job in life.
Absolutely.
It reminds me of Matthew 6:33 that says, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I mean, we see all the secular things in life we hope to have those attitudes, but the purpose in our life is supposed to be seeking Him first.
And to what degree are we committed then? Here as members of this congregation, as I look, I believe everybody here in this class this morning is a member of this congregation. How engaged are we in terms of the success of what we're trying to do here? And in terms of being committed to it and putting our hands to the plow and saying, you know what, everything that I can possibly do to help this congregation succeed and to help the Lord's church grow, that's my purpose in life. And that's what I'm here for. You know, one passage is I thought about passages that deal with this idea of the engagement level of a child of God is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 when Paul talks about the brethren in Macedonia and he's preparing to talk to the brethren in Corinth about their giving, and he cites the brethren in Macedonia as an example, and he says in verse 1, "Now brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which had been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great deal of affliction and their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." What's the operative phrase in that context that indicates the engagement level of those brethren in Macedonia?
They first gave
themselves to the Lord. That is, Paul's talking about their financial giving. Is that part of our, again, I don't mean to keep reasoning, is that part of our engagement, our commitment, our faith, as Christians? Our financial giving is part of that. But Paul points out, they put all their chips in to begin with. I mean, their whole lives, they gave themselves first to the Lord. Once you first give yourself, your heart, your soul, again, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, that's about, that's committing yourself. And when you've committed yourself to the success and the work of the local congregation, when it comes to, on the first day of the week, purposing in your heart in terms of the financial giving, is there any question then about that? Is there going to be any hesitation then about the financial giving when you've given yourself to the cause of Christ and to the work of the church and the local congregation? The writing a check is easy then. You've given yourself to it. You're one of those fully engaged Christians. I mean, your whole life is about seeking to make the Lord's church successful and to achieve the work that God would have for the church to do. And that's part of what we need to remember. We've had a long study on Bible authority that as members of the Lord's church, we've got to be committed to knowing what the work is that we've got to succeed in and what the work of the church is not. Again, there's lots of individuals and, part of the gospel meeting up in Buena Ventura this past week was where people are trying to take the church in a different direction other than what the Lord intended for the church to do. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 needs to be part of our mantra as members of the Lord's church, that let not the church be burdened with those things that the church is not expected to fulfill. There are things in 1 Timothy chapter 4, there's issues, matters of life that God expects us individually to step up and take care of, to support our family members and so forth, and don't burden the church with that. And so, again, part of our involvement with the Lord's church and our commitment to it be that I'm going to take care of personally what is my responsibility and not going to place burdens on the church that it shouldn't have to carry. But that's knowing then the will of God, and that's our commitment when we give ourselves to the Lord, that we're going to understand and we're going to limit ourselves to what the Lord has asked the church to do. We're not going to ask it to raise our children. We're not going to ask it to take care of my grandmother. We're not going to ask it to educate my children and fix my car and handle my legal services and what have you. We're going to understand those are my individual responsibilities. But that's part of that kalao. That's part of that joining ourselves to. That's part of our commitment in which we commit to the cause of Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. We read that earlier in terms of the proper working of each individual part. Again, that's the understanding, that's that engagement level where I'm fully committed and understand that the church is not going to be the success and achieve the spiritual success God intended for it to have if I don't do my part, if I'm not willing, again, to be committed, if I don't see, as Richard pointed out, that there is nothing else in life that is really that important in terms of my membership and my contribution of myself and my heart and my life to the cause of Christ and the Lord's church. And that's where we're also going to consider, the thing I was going to perhaps bring up here at the end is we go back to the fact that, again, as members who've been added by the Lord, go back to the body, the example of the building, of that relationship that we have one another. Anybody catch the fact that in the New Testament, how often the phrase one another is used in the New Testament? It's used a lot. The idea of one another. Why? It's that idea of being fellow members. The fact that if you're a member of something, you've got other people who are members of it, and our responsibility not only to focus on the needs of the whole, the Lord's church, but our relationships with our brethren, the one another principles. Again, I think if I remember right, it was somewhere over 100 times within the New Testament that one another is used, both in terms of praying for one another, encouraging one another, comforting one another, supporting one another, and again, it goes on and on from there. So, I mentioned that if we really got to it, the one question from lesson chapter 15 that I think we need to consider is the first question: what does it mean to be a member of the church? And that's really what perhaps that's a long answer to what I would provide as my answer. What does it mean to be a member? See, that's a huge question. In the book, it gives you about that much space to write an answer. When what does it mean to be a member of the Lord's church? That's a huge question.
Fear God, keep His commandments.
That's a huge question. So, again, appreciate the comments, and we'll close our class with that. Thank you.
Very good. I'm just going to set this up in your bedroom.